Hi, and welcome to another one of our little podcasts. Today we are going to be looking at the readings for the 31st Sunday in Ordinary Time, which is today. And before we get into that, let us open with prayer. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. O glorious Saint Andrew, you were the first to recognize and follow the Lamb of God. With your friend Saint John, you remain with Jesus on that first day, and for your eternal life, and now throughout all eternity. You led your brother, Saint Peter, to Christ, and many others after him. Therefore, draw us also unto Jesus, and teach us to lead others to Christ, completely and totally out of love for him, and in dedication to service to him. Help each one of us to learn the lesson of the cross and to carry out our daily crosses without complaint, so that they may carry us onward unto Jesus our Lord. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Now today's first reading is a reading from the Book of Wisdom. Before the Lord, the whole universe is as a grain from a balance, or a drop of morning dew come down upon the earth. But you have mercy on all, because you can do all things. You overlook people's sins that they may repent. For you love all things that are, and loathe nothing that you have made. For what you hated, you would not have fashioned. And how could a thing remain unless you willed it, or preserved, had it not been called forth by you? But you spare all things because they are yours, O Lord and lover of souls, for your imperishable spirit is in all things. Therefore you rebuked offenders little by little, warned them and reminded them of their sins which they were committing, that they may abandon their wickedness and believe in you, O Lord. The word of the Lord. The response, I will praise your name forever, my King and my God. I will praise your name forever, my King and my God. I will exalt you, O God and King, and I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you, and I will praise your name forever and ever. I will praise your name forever, my King and my God. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and great in kindness. The Lord is good to all and compassionate toward all his works. I will praise your name forever, my King and my God. Let all your works give you thanks, O Lord, and let your faithful ones bless you. Let them discourse the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might. I will praise your name forever, O my King and my God. O Lord, you are faithful in all your words and holy in all your works. The Lord lifts up all who are falling and raises up all who are bowed down. The Lord is gracious and holy in all his works. I will praise you, your name forever, my King and my God. The second reading is a reading from the second letter of St. Paul to the Thessalonians. Brothers and sisters, we always pray for you that our God may make you worthy of his calling, powerfully bring to fulfillment every good purpose and every effort of faith, that the name of the Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and you in him, in accord with the grace of our God and Lord Jesus Christ. We ask you, brothers and sisters, with regard to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our assembling with him, not to be shaken out of your mind suddenly, or to be alarmed either by a spirit, or by an oral statement, or by a letter allegedly from us, to the effect that the day of the Lord is at hand. The word of the Lord. Alleluia, alleluia. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him might have eternal life. Alleluia, alleluia. At that time, Jesus came to Jericho and intended to pass through the town. Now a man there named Zacharias, who was a chief tax collector and also a wealthy man, was seeking to see who Jesus was. But he could not see him because of the crowd, for he was short in stature. So he ran ahead, climbed a sycamore tree in order to see Jesus, who was about to pass that way. When he reached the place, Jesus looked up and said, "Zacharias, come down quickly, for today I must stay at your house." And he came down quickly and received him with joy. When they all saw this, they began to grumble, saying, "He has gone to stay in the house of a sinner." But Zacharias stood there and said to the Lord, "Behold, half of my possessions, Lord, I shall give to the poor. And if I have extorted anything from anyone, I shall repay it four times over." And the Lord said to him, "Today's salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a descendant of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save what was lost." The Gospel of the Lord. What great readings for this particular Sunday in our calendar year, so that we can really understand the mercy of God. A mercy that is available to all, especially those to whom Jesus visits who have repented. The story in today's gospel is a very familiar story. It is one that tells us about a man by the name of Zacharias. He was a chief tax collector, the head tax collector of the town. And he was someone who really wanted to see Jesus. He wanted to see him so much, he did what many kids do, climb a tree. Something I did when I was a lot younger. I used to go to my grandma's house down in Jefferson County, Missouri, and climb trees. She lived right off Highway 55 in the Imperial area, and I could see the highway from where we were. And my uncles at one time had a tree house that was kind of off in the wooded area near grandma's house. And me and my older sister would every now and then climb these trees and go up in them and just look around. These were amazing things. And this is kind of what Zechariah does. He hears that Jesus is coming in town. He's very curious. He wants to catch a glimpse of him. And he can't see him through the crowd because he's a short man. So what he does is he tries to find the best way to see him. And even though it's a kid's thing, he climbs a tree. He humbles himself in order to catch a glimpse of Jesus traveling through. The interesting thing that we note is it's stressed in this gospel reading that Jesus was not intending to stop in Jericho. He was passing through it on his way to Jerusalem. It's very important we realize that when we read this. Jesus was headed elsewhere, but because Zechariah really wanted to see Jesus, he determined to change his plans, his human plans. The importance of this, of his public office and his reputation, is what many people would have found funny, because he decided to climb a tree like a kid just to get a good look at Jesus, to see him clearly. And it shows how much he forgot his position in the world and only wanted to know a position that comes from Christ. How surprised he must have been when Jesus stopped beneath the tree and called up to him personally, telling him, "Hey, Zacharias, I must stay at your place." Not only had he seen Jesus, but more importantly, Jesus had seen and spoken to him. This is something we need most often in our lives. And when this happens, we're sometimes caught off guard when we encounter Jesus in the events of our daily life. Sometimes so much so that we don't recognize Jesus when he's speaking to us through others. And sometimes, as Saint Ignatius of Loyola pointed out as the basis for his examen prayer, we miss him completely because we don't pause long enough to realize when God visits us in our lives. As this story ends, we see that Jesus is eating in Zacharias' home, and we see that Zacharias is a changed man because he offers to make reparation for those whom he's cheated. Truly, salvation has come to his house. The one that was once unable to see Jesus clearly now sees his vision restored because he becomes a new creation. But we also see that because of Jesus going to this man's house, that the bystanders use this as a reason to ridicule Jesus and to demean the gospel message that he brought. Because they say unto him, "Hey, he's gone into a sinner's house to be that person's guest." How often do we hear that Jesus loves everybody? And it almost becomes a means of saying that that person's sins are irrelevant. That the love of God is more than the weight of the sin that obscures the vision, that keeps that person from climbing the tree to really get to see Jesus and have him really speak to them. We have many sins in our lives that we commit, and sometimes we have a favorite one that we hold on to. I say sometimes because I know what mine is. It's one that I struggled with for many years and still struggle with even today. It hasn't had complete victory over me, thank God, but that's the grace of God at work in my life. It's that whole point that we see in the first reading from the Book of Wisdom about how God looks to us in a loving way and wants to spare us. He's the Lord and lover of souls. And his spirit, his amazingly divine, imperishable spirit, is what preserves us and keeps us alive. Every day you and I draw breath is proof that we are loved by God, no matter what. But the no matter what does not mean that we remain sinners. We are called to fulfill every honest intention and work of faith that God calls us to. This is what we're reminded in the book of Thessalonians, the second book, that we're not supposed to be easily angered or terrified. We're not supposed to be uttering false things or be gossipers, because we need to be focused upon the day of the Lord, realizing that the day of the Lord is here, that the gospel has come to each one of us, and we can put off the works of evil and truly live the kind of life that God wants us to have, to experience him personally. Hear the way the first reading puts it. Before the Lord, everything in the universe is just like a grain in a balance, being weighed. Very small thing, but still on the scales of life. God has mercy on all. And we know it's his mercy because he can do everything. There is nothing that can be prevented that God wants to do. Nothing is impossible with God. And one of the things that he does is he overlooks our sins in order that we repent. Have you ever really thought about that? The God who created the universe, who wants you to not commit adultery, bear false witness, have hatred in your heart to the point that you would want to kill somebody if you had the means and ability and could get away with it. That same God loves you and wants you to give that up. What is your personal sin? Just between you and God, what is that sin? What is more important than the love of God that calls you to his cross and asks you to change and amend your life, to truly become a believer, a Christian? I'm reminded of a certain political candidate, which I won't put into name, who is known for living a lifestyle that is against what the Bible and the church teaches is proper for any individual. And this person loves to talk about how God loves him. I'm pretty certain that any of you that follow politics have an idea who I'm talking about. But this is a problem, because it's not that God loves, regardless of anything else, that should be the focus. It's whether or not we truly love God more than we love the sin that we hold on to closer and more dearly than God himself. We're all called to be branches on a vine. We're all called to bear much fruit because of being branches on a vine. But how many of us are not branches on a vine because we're attached to something in the world? I'll never forget a conversation I had one time with my dad when he was talking about heaven. And he said that if so-and-so was not in heaven, why would he want to be there? And he listed a couple different people, one of which was my grandmother. And I can understand that perspective, where why would I want to be in heaven if the person that I love the most is not there? If my mother was not in heaven, could I really enjoy eternity? The answer to that question is, your understanding of heaven and such is really what gets to the basis of why God calls you to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And to love your neighbor as he loves you, as you yourself are loved by him. We miss all this because we're called to a relationship with God. A relationship that allows us to be able to intercede for those whom we love and see them come to that knowledge of God that is only possible when we abandon the things of the world that hinder us from really seeing him properly and allow us to climb the trees to really look down and see Jesus, so that we not only can see Jesus, but so that he can look up and call us by name, so that we can know that personally. Because when we truly grasp just how important it is for us to love God, and that's the real issue at play here, it's not whether or not God loves me, it's whether or not you love him. Do I love God more than an adulterous relationship? Do I love God more than I love to bear false witness against somebody and lie about them and destroy them? Do I love God more than I hate my neighbor, who is the very image of God? Do I love God enough not to take what does not belong to me or even desire covetously what is not mine, because I think that it's unfair that the 1% have everything that the rest of the 99 don't. Because there needs to be a redistribution of wealth. Seriously, these questions are what drives us today to the foot of the cross, where we see Jesus from our trees and hear him cry out our name and truly come into our homes so that we too, like Zacharias, can be changed and eternally blessed.